values that were what we put together to get to these total values were based off of the average of the city of Franklin for those land uses. We're not putting in multi-story buildings, which are could be likely and would have higher value. So if you had lower level retail with residential above, we're not capturing that in the value right now. And also the cost includes, on the cost side is everything. Which like for the town square, we had $1 million for a town square. So some of this is kind of working back and forth of what value should it be, what are we actually going to build, as to what do we actually want to pay for.
And so this is more or less conservative.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so, and again, I apologize for these basic questions, but we haven't had this discussion. What makes the number, the ratio, something we should go ahead for or not go ahead for? I mean, to me, if it's 1-to-1, obviously we're not getting anything, any benefit from it. But if it's anything above 1-to-1, we're getting a benefit. So why is that not worth it?
Well, what you're talking about, Alderman, is having to finance this over time. You've got, in this case, $31 million in costs just for the upfront principal amount. But that doesn't reflect the interest cost over time to pay for that in addition. I mentioned that in order to identify what the total capacity is, if you will, of the revenue stream coming off of this tax base that would be created, we run a calculation that refers to a net present value calculation. That takes into account a discount rate or an interest rate. It would be the rate that you would effectively pay if you were to borrow the money today. And what that has told us is that if you used all 20 years of a tax increment district and you applied every dollar that was available from that district to pay the principal and interest on the debt, and using an interest rate, what were we using? A tax-exempt interest rate of approximately 3%, you could only finance $23.2 million of the total of principal amount of $31 million. So there's not enough there with that leverage to cover your cost. What we're really talking about here is not return on the dollar in terms of your investments. It's covering your dollar in terms of getting back to the actual payment of principal and interest on your debt. The numbers don't work unless you get close to the 4% or 4-to-1 ratio.
Okay, come back.
Alderman
Mahal. Question for Mr. Ellis. Mr.
Harrigan.
Harrigan from Ellis.
I don't mind.
Yeah, right.
Been there for 20 years.
EDC chairman, you were here when he was at citizen comment period and he dropped some significant names. Did you speak with any of those people in those interested parties in your analysis?
No, my numbers were strictly technical. I did a financial analysis based upon the numbers that were presented from the Grave folks who provided us with the estimate of values.
Okay.
That question more appropriately goes to Mr. Crescent.
And then you said we're at 3-to-1, but we just had an announcement about the stadium. So your projections would not have included the stadium catalyst that's now could be possibly on the table, right?
Correct. It may not have, yes.
So we could possibly be at 4-to-1 with...
Well, we want to revisit all that if we have new information, absolutely.
Well, you mentioned that you thought it needed more
work.
My
wife got kicked here. Let me ask something. You want to go ahead?
I'm sorry. The one other comment, I think that we talk about a 4-to-1 ratio, a lot of it depends on how quickly that development comes online. Mm-hmm. So if you're building something today, 2 years from now, there'll be taxes generated on that that would be utilized to pay for costs that are spent. So it's the revenue coming into the TIF. So if we're looking at in the alternate B of $85 million, how quickly will that $85 million be developed? In the assumption of it all coming on in the first year, there's a 4-to-1. But if it takes 10 years for $85 million to be generated, or 15 years, then that ratio has to grow from a 4 to something larger. So it's how quickly that value comes on board. Now, when we model these, we also advise that you don't spend the cost until you know there may be something there to help pay for those costs. So the likelihood is you wouldn't incur all $26 million up front. You'd have to look at what is needed first to make things happen, and if can you phase out the cost as well. So you match the two together to determine timing and economics of undertaking the project.
Well, those are excellent points, and this is a good example of my frustration on why it took us so long to look at Area A, because we are now lost capturing the Hilton, that's or the Hampton Inn that's opening, and the Verde Park office or dental office that's opening, which we could have captured had we worked on this a little sooner, and that increment would have been there and helped to pay off that. So we can keep continuing to push this off, or we can continue to look at it. And I like the fact that you said it needs more work, and we have a developer who's come forward with an idea. So I think, good, let's get going and look at that before
we lose more. I'll answer your question about, did we talk to the developers? I did talk to several developers.
I knew that you would, but I didn't know.
And we didn't
we're
adjust
getting
the value. They're interested. I mean, the interest in that commitment is exactly the
right.
same. So we wanted to keep the numbers conservative.
Yes. Thank you, Governor.
Alderman Schmidt.
Looking at development, obviously your hard numbers are based on current situations. Has there been any discussion about bringing in Buxton, which we had hired as a consultant to bring in potential businesses that would be compatible in Franklin? That would be another X factor, I would assume, right, that if they were doing something. And with Mr. Zimmerman's potential, for those are all X factors that have not been included in this proposal, correct?
I guess that would be correct.
Nor
anything that you can do to identify real interest in this site is key. I mean, as Don mentioned,
right.
We really prefer to see clients not undertake a debt commitment until they know that they've got at least a significant portion of the development in hand.
Such as like
to
the
help
Hampton
people.
Inn.
Yeah, right.
And professional building on Rawson Avenue where the dentist is going to be opening at some point with future clients in his building, too. Those are all prospective advantages to the retail district that are somewhere on the horizon that would help, I would believe, encourage other vacancies to fill in.
Agreed. And, you know, the things that we heard from our developer we talked with were that access is fixed, and that's a game changer.
Well, you're talking about the access from Loomis Road.
Yes.
Well, it was a little bit, I guess I would consider it a little bit unrealistic to expect that the state is going to acquiesce to these requests that we need to move forward without the state's relying on the state to come to our rescue. And there are enough developers such as Mr. O'Malley here who also has a vested interest in seeing that Orchard View Shopping Center have more economic opportunities. And so, anyway, I'm encouraged with the potential for alternative B, I believe. So I hope that we can move forward.
Alderman, I need some clarification. You just said that you didn't think that the state would ever come across with changing the ramp structure, and yet you say you want us to move forward with alternate B, which requires the state to move.
The alternative B was what, changing the access ramps onto?
That's correct.
Along Rawson. Was it alternative A without the ramps, or were both?
That's correct.
Okay.
Alternate A is developing it as it is today. And that turns out to be $73 million estimated value and a cost of $31
million. Okay. And what's not in there, the absorption on that would be a little, would be different, which would require more work.
It was absorption as it is right now, would you say would be what it is right now? Say it in the microphone, please.
Yes. If it wouldn't have been, it would have been developed.
Pat, you got to use the microphone, please.
If it would have been developed if already, if that wouldn't have been the case.
Is that it? No. Alderman Dandridge.
If the city were to move forward with one of the projects as it's sitting now, not knowing that there are other ideas out there, which is a good thing, what is the reality of getting funding at these ratios? If we're at a 2-to-1 or a 3-to-1, the reality is I think it's going to be very difficult to get a bond issuance approved and accepted.
Well, you know, if you're planning to finance this, there are a couple of ways to do it. One is utilization of your general obligation borrowing authority. The other is through a revenue bond that would rely on the strength of the TIF cash flow. And you're absolutely right. If you were to use the second alternative, you couldn't sell the bonds because there wouldn't be the coverage on the bond. If you use the first alternative, because that's really backed by the full faith and credit of the city, irregardless of whether the TIF cash flow is there, an investor is still going to buy that, but we wouldn't advise issuing it.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman May.
So we still have a lot of unanswered questions here.
Absolutely.
We don't know if the state's going to go with the ramps. We don't know if we want to do the ramps. We don't know exactly what our vision is for this whole area. So where do we go from here?
So my suggestion is that the council just instruct the staff and consultants to continue with their evaluation of alternate B for this particular area, because we know alternate A doesn't work, which is the way it is now.
We don't know that yet. How do we know that? What tells us that? We have not had the discussion. We're getting the consultants thing here, but we don't know if there would be some adjustments that could be made. We don't know if the TIF district should go from point A to point wherever it goes. Maybe it should be shortened and more centralized. We don't know these things. There's still a lot of unanswered questions in option A and option B because we haven't had the discussions. We don't know where anybody's at on these things. So, no, I would not say option A is out. I would not say option B is out. I would like us to move forward on both of them. And maybe even an option C, and I would like to be involved in the process. I think the council should be involved in the process, as should be the Economic Development Commission. And now we're just hearing about some other development that might be occurring there. I think there's a lot more that needs to be considered here before we move forward and eliminate option A or any option for now.
Alderwoman, Mayor.
Well, I have a question. You said that the kinds of businesses that would have an interest in this area were, you were told by developers, what kind of businesses would have an interest in this area. What developers did you talk to?
I guess I'd rather not say without actually talking to them specifically, but they were probably the similar or the same people that Mr. Haskell.
Okay. And you said that you were directed to look at the vacant land as development.
Correct.
By who?
When we put together the proposal, we talked through the options of where should the boundary be and what should we focus on as far as the purpose of this study. I think it was a mutual discussion with, I think, the mayor, Nick, Jesse, a variety of other people from the city side.
Okay. I feel in that area we don't necessarily have to focus on just the developable land. The whole area needs help. TIF money used to be used to fix blighted areas and areas that needed to be fixed up. It kind of seems to go to farmland now to just put a building on it and, you know, wow, you increase the value of it. That's just amazing. What I would like to see are working with current developers that are there, current landowners that have buildings on their sites, to to see if there would be some development opportunities to spruce up that area. I have some ideas, and I would like to be consulted also. Obviously, those numbers would change, I think, drastically if you were allowed to use those strip malls and that kind of thing, that land differently, and use your imagination on how to build that up better. So I would like you to be able to use the whole area and not just empty land. And I would also like you to look at taller stories. I think that's my point. Thank you.
The only thing I want to reflect on that is I don't have an issue with any of it, but we did look at redevelopment. The issue that we came to in the group meetings on several occasions was the cost to redevelop was not covered by the additional tax increment that you would generate. So therefore, it wouldn't pay. In other words, you'd spend $2 to get a dollar or two in new assessed value. It didn't pay. But you certainly look at it. Sure, absolutely.
Just a quick question. What group meetings was that, Mr. Mayor?
There were group meetings. A lot of meetings that were all done with staff.
Okay. We weren't aware of those meetings that I know of.
I do have to apologize to you specifically for not including you, but you worked during the days. Alderwoman Mayer's been involved in plenary meetings, as Alderwoman Evans. So, but I specifically apologize to you for not letting me know.
Okay, thank you.
But that's the issue. You got to cover your cost with, as we've outlined, four times the assessed value increase. Mr. Harrigan's got a comment, I think.
Well, I just wanted to reflect for a second on Alderman Mayer's comment about the process a little bit, and that is, as I mentioned earlier, we've done a lot of this kind of work, and to get to a point where these things work, our experience tells us this is an iterative process.
It's
iterative. You go back and forth. You have exchange. You have an opportunity to try this. It doesn't work. You come back and...
My exact point.
We're working with this. That's what we're doing tonight. I mean,
okay, this is the first time since November, and it's not your fault. It's the first time since November that we're doing it.
So March, Dan.
So you know, your question was, where do you go from here? My suggestion, at least in part, would be that if there's an interest in B or A, or a hybrid of those, which is what I think we're going to end up with, the next step really is for us to work together with Grave and the folks and at the city and prioritize what costs, of all these costs, prioritize what costs there are in here that have to be done first, second, third, and fourth, and identify whether within the scheme of things we can realize development at a pace that would cover the development as we proceed. Because that's really the way that this is going to work, is if we can time it. Don was talking about the timing of this. Is absolutely right. If we can't time it so that these things will cover their cost, it isn't gonna make sense.
Right.
And sometimes you can't get there. But we haven't determined that that's the case here.
Right. But my side is, we want to do it, and we want to tell you to make a way for us to do it.
By the way, that's been the goal all along. How do we make this work? Which is why we came up, well, actually, Grave came up with Plan B.
Well, what I just heard was what you think the next step should be is for us to, for you to work together with Grave and prioritize an area. I thought that's what we did in November. I thought that's what the hiring was for that to come forward. Now, right.
That's what you have in front of you.
But more recently, on the last agenda item, we gave additional item or additional funds to Ellers to make the numbers work on that area. Why didn't, if this one needed more work, why didn't we do the same for this area.
You said this area twice.
Area, the one we're discussing. That's why I'm saying this area, because that's the agenda item we're on.
I guess if I can restate your question, what are we talking about tonight? And what we're talking about is exactly what the council asked us to do, is come back with your recommendations and your alternates. Well, this is a status report because, frankly, we don't have the TIA done to make all of the judgments for alternate B. So it's an update. You know, everybody wants to make more of it than it is. It's an update. We're continuing to work.
I guess what I'm looking for is an equal playing field on Area A, because what I heard from the citizens in Franklin is they want this. And I want to give the people what they want, what they've been asking for. And I think that's what we're here for, is to try to figure out a way to accommodate what the people have been asking us for. And if it takes digging in a little more and putting a little more effort into it, I think we should do that. But if that's not the desire of the council, then I see it as being another lost opportunity. We had how many years without a downtown? We'll be probably facing that many more years without a downtown. And it's really sad when I drive through little dinky cities and look at the size of their downtowns and think, why is the landmass of Franklin and the population such, and we can't have what these other really small communities have? It's sad. We're all taking our money outside of the community. So, you know, big box business parks are great, but I think we'd like to spend our money here and keep our tax dollars here, and I think that should be the goal of this council.
I got to tell you, I didn't hear anyone on this council say no, they didn't, that they wanted Grafe and Ehlers to stop work on this project. I didn't hear a single soul say that. Did anybody say that? So
my comments didn't say that it said that.
Can we just move on without the back and forth tonight? Sorry.
So we'll continue. And Dan will be involved to the extent he can. Alderman Schmidt.
I think given the magnitude of the districts that we're dealing with tonight, not only this one but the other two, there's a lot at stake for everyone in the city that I think needs to be privy to what we're dealing with. And given that, I would like to offer this motion that the economic development plan that is presented to the City of Franklin's Common Council tonight be referred by City Attorney Jesse Wesolowski via the staff of the city to the appointed city citizen members of the Community Development Authority, the Forward Franklin and or Economic Development Committee, the Finance Committee, the Board of Public Works, the Plan Commission, to the Board of Water Commissioners, to the Franklin, Oak Creek, and Franklin School Districts, the Whitmore Franklin School District, to the Milwaukee County Executive and the County Board of Supervisors, as well as to the respective Wisconsin State Legislators who represent the areas in the reports and presentations for their review, consideration, comments, and or recommendations prior to any action being taken by the Common Council of the City of Franklin concerning the new business parks being proposed in this presentation. And I also move that it is in the best interest of the people of Franklin that listening sessions and public hearings be scheduled on days when most people are able to attend to view the detailed provisions of this economic development plan for large areas of Franklin. And further move that a special public hearing be held at 1 p.m. on Saturday, June 27th at either the Franklin Library, the City Hall, Community Room, or the Law Enforcement Center, so that residents of Franklin and others may view the detailed presentation of the plans presented to us tonight in a manner similar to how past presentations were presented for the 27th Street Corridor Comprehensive Master Plan for the city, the Rock Sports Complex proposal, or such large projects that have had great impact upon the residents and customers of Franklin and Franklin's future. It is also part of this motion that the Director of Finance, Treasurer of the City of Franklin, come forward to make a separate presentation, primarily as the treasurer of the city, to the aldermen that will provide his professional opinion on the approximate costs of these economic development plans that may involve the expenditure of millions of taxpayer dollars and or tax incremental financing funds. I further move that the Treasurer provide the Common Council his expert opinion on the cost for borrowing for a large business park, the land acquisition costs associated with new business park plan, and the integers that would need to occur should land be acquired via eminent domain. I also move that the Treasurer provide the Common Council the amount of taxes that are and have been collected for the last 10 years for all areas recommended for a large business park proposed by the mayor, and how this new business park would help to alleviate the high taxes found in the Franklin School District. I also move that a detailed report be furnished to the Alderman and the public on how these tax revenues currently being collected are being used and how these funds would be used if a new business park was approved. The report shall include when this new business park would be paid off and when revenue from this new business park would be provided to the various taxing districts, as was the case when the city paid off the debt of the current business park. I further move that the development proposals within the Franklin School District, such as the one for Ryan Road and Highway 36, be encouraged and assisted by the staff of the city, and that all steps be taken to promote commercial development and mixed-use development that helps to alleviate the high taxes found within the Franklin School District. Furthermore, that it is the expressed order of the Common Council that no action be taken by any person associated with the City of Franklin regarding the entering of contracts or the negotiations of such contracts concerning a new business park, and still specifically directed by the Common Council as a result of a majority vote of the Council.
Is there support for that?
I'll second it for discussion.
Discussion.
You're encompassing with that all of the TIF districts that we've talked about.
Correct.
I have no clue how to administer that. None. You can't have a four-page motion. Okay. Any other discussion? Alderman Willem.
I guess I want to know how the motion incorporates moving forward with A after this meeting in particular.
Retail district.
Are you able to pick out the sections in there that specifically address Area A as it's presented this evening?
Alderman Schmidt, you have the floor.
It is the economic development plans that we're encompassing for the various districts tonight. So there is the view of the detailed provisions of economic development plans for large areas of Franklin. So there are various different areas that are being impacted by these decisions tonight.
Do I have the floor back then?
You have the floor.
I like aspects of the motions as far as the open and the public meetings, and I think that's important. I would like to see us do something on Area A tonight, especially given in light that the new announcement came out that Mr. Zimmerman, who is a major property owner, is willing to work with us. And so I would encourage either adding that or deleting something and replacing it with that in your motion.
If you would have something that you would like to add as an amendment to incorporate in that to specifically relate to that, Area A.
All right, I'll put some thought into that.
Okay, well, since Mr. Zimmerman and I have yet to speak, and the motion defines a public hearing in 2 weeks. I don't know what I'm going to present. Mike,
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go, but we need numbers. As you heard tonight, this is a financial decision. So Alderman Evans and then Alderman Mayer.
The parts of your motion that include Franklin Public School District in regards to the development, if we're going by the comprehensive master plan, which states we can develop a business park down on 27th Street, or we can develop in Area G, or we can develop Area A. When you're developing a TIF district, if it doesn't attract students, which is the school district gets their money from students. That's where they get it from. So when you get the value from a TIF district, it makes the district look richer. It's just very hard to explain. It makes the district look richer when we're getting the funding for the school districts. You still have to develop these business parks and such because they're in the master plan. So the motion just does not make sense to me. I mean, it's like you're saying you don't want to develop at all because you're just concentrating on this issue with the school districts. It's going to come along. You can't force people to move into here. We're always trying to get more students. We need the residential development, but you just can't say we're not going to develop a business park or multi commercial areas. It just doesn't make sense to me. I could not support that motion.
Alderman Mayer.
I didn't take that to be against development. I just took it to be reasonable development carefully planned out. So I didn't take it to be against development at all. But I would like to see us move forward on 76 and Rawson and then maybe take the other two separately. But I think part of the discussion last November was that Franklin could not invest in three TIF districts. We couldn't plan three TIF districts and develop three TIF districts at one time. And I think the consensus was that we were willing to try. But I think the information tells us now that we can't do that. And so I think we should go forward to 76 and Ross, and I think that's a consensus here. I like the motion for the other two to take those a little more slowly, not to be against development, but just to take it more slowly and get more of the answers. But I'd like to separate 76 and Ross out from that right now and go forward with that.
A couple of questions. First one is, Alderman Schmidt, in your motion you mentioned Whitmo School District. Could you tell me the purpose of including a school district that has no relationship whatever to any of these districts?
We have certain students that are going to the Oak Creek schools, but we have some students in Franklin that are also part of the Whitmo District, too. There is overlap.
Okay, I'm not sure. Okay. Second question is at this public hearing on the 20s, whatever the date was.
20s.
I need to know what you want presented, because right now we've been talking for the last hour, almost 2 hours, hour and a half, about the current status with no final, no even preliminary direction to the consultant. And I'm all about, I'm great with transparency, but if you don't have something meaningful to tell somebody, what's the purpose of the meeting? Alderman Mayer.
Perhaps in the motion that date could be altered to a later date when we could mutually agree that information would be available.
I'd go for that in a heartbeat. That was the original plan. Alderman Dandre, then back to Alderman Evans.
Yeah. The motion is way too lengthy. If you want transparency and you want the community to be involved, just say that. We've asked them to go back and utilize developers, superimpose that to see if we've got a legitimate project here. Basically, your motion is handcuffing the whole thing and making it go to have the public approve the project. If I'm going to do that, then we're never going to go anywhere on this project. And now you're asking for other autistic municipalities, like school districts and everything, to be part of our planning. Come on. The reality of getting an approval or a project to move forward is almost impossible.
Alderwoman Evans.
Back in November, I believe it was November 4th, was our special meeting. The city attorney made it very clear when he brought these forward for explanation that there is a process and that there would be public hearings at the proper time. He went through the whole list of everything we would need to do once the feasibility studies came back and everything started to move forward, and everything would be transparent and public would be involved at the proper time. So I can't see creating a motion like that.
I'm aware that December 2013, there was a closed session meeting that I wasn't a part of because I wasn't on this council at the time. But it was the Common Council, four of you at this table, the CDA and the EDC to discuss the next business park. And I understand, and I can't tell you this for fact because I wasn't there, but I understand that essentially some of what you're seeing tonight, which you haven't heard yet, by the way, only gotten through one of these areas, but was presented to the Common Council, and the Common Council, for whatever reason, chose to do nothing. I view this motion as continuing to do nothing. I am all for public engagement, but public engagement when you can have a meaningful conversation with individuals in the audience. I mean, you guys heard alternatives tonight. How do you react to that? It's not fair to the constituents. You got to present them with a concrete idea, not two or three, and then let them comment on that, and then do your modifications from there, just like we're hearing from the folks in your districts. You know, this politically motivated motion does nothing to help this process continue. Alderman Mayer, then Alderman Wall.
Well, I do have a comment to make regarding the comment made by Alderwoman Evans when she said that we would have, you know, time for the public hearings and stuff. I guess what confuses me then is why, and maybe I don't understand the resolution, but why there is a resolution in C3, which we have not talked about yet, for the corporate park, which says that we're basically going ahead with it and that the CDA is going to be in charge of it, and we're going to have the mayor and the city clerk authorized to approve and execute contractual proposals. I don't know when the public hearing was on that, so if I could get an explanation, as maybe there's just a confusion.
Mr. City Attorney.
No confusion. My primary concern with the motion is that the Common Council is on item number one, and there's three items, and the motion is on three. And I don't know if the intention is that there is no report on two and three, or if it assumes, or if it was actually part of the motion that two and three are moved to and all combined. In any event, with regard to the public hearing, that would have been brought up by Mr. Harrigan on number three. The original plan was primarily and thought process after staff review for approximately 3-4 months. Was that there would be a public hearing required because there would be a necessary amendment to the tax incremental district for the future business park that requires a public hearing. After repeated work, as was discussed with the give and take amongst all the consultants for the future business park, and this is item three, but the ultimate numbers, as Ellers prepared to present, do not require an amendment to tax incremental district number four. So for that purpose, no public hearing would be required. But for a plan with regard to redevelopment, which would be required, and if approved, would authorize the CDA to administer the business park development, that would require a public hearing.
And on top of that, Alderwoman Evans has already had one public meeting that also encompassed parts of what we're going to talk about tonight, and that, frankly, is really her business. Frankly. I've heard a lot about people butting in other people's districts. Let's reciprocate. Let's everybody manage their own areas. Alderwoman Wilma.
Okay. Like a business park is an overall city project, not an automatic project. Okay, so I wanted to get back to Alderman Schmidt regarding his motion, so I don't know if he wants to save some of the items for Agenda Item 3, which mentioned the business park, or add this to this, but I guess I'll leave that up to you with what you want to do with your motion. It might be nice to have former Mayor Taylor's sheet. Before we get that item, that would be great. But what I had was to move forward with planning of Area A and to immediately include working closely with the landowners in Area A to address the creation of a hospitality retail.
Wait. You're out of order. There is a motion on the floor.
I know.
It's been seconded.
This was an amendment to my motion. Remember I said I'll get back with you. Just give me a moment. This was what...
Can we try real hard not to add more language to an already long two-page?
Well, Mayor, if you would have listened to what I said I would ask that he either consider holding those items till we get to the business park and replace it with this, or add it to it as he sees fit. It's his motion, so I was offering this up as a suggestion. So this is my suggested amendment to the motion that's on the floor right now. So if I can make it through the motion, because I have the floor, I'll finish that, and then you can criticize that when I'm finished. Could I have the floor to get through the motion?
It is your floor.
Thank you. Okay, to move forward with the planning of Area A and to immediately include working closely with the landowners in Area A to address the creation of a hospitality, retail, and upper-level residential area for the public's review. And then I had inserting in 2 weeks because Mike Zimmerman just said he's ready to go. So I didn't want to hold it off too long, but maybe that's not a realistic time frame, but maybe we can get a nod that it might be. So that was my suggestion. It could possibly replace what you have, and you could do your other motion when you get to item 3. Which seems to be more fitting on that.
Okay, procedurally, I think we've got a suggested amendment to the motion. Is there a second to the amendment? Is there a second to the amendment?
I'll second it for discussion, then I have a question and a comment.
Alderman Mayor.
Why don't we put it to the next committee of the whole, since that's already on people's schedule. Secondly, as of right now, we don't know about any developments. We certainly hope Mr. Zimmerman's going to come forward, and we may or may not support that, but we have to make our decisions not based on that. We have to make our decisions going forward based on what we want for 76 and Rawson, and I think we're doing that. I just wanted to make that clear.
I suggest that you're all making this way too complicated. No. You had your 9 years.
Sorry?
You had 9 years.
Wow. Mr. Mayor?
No, sir. You're not recognized. This is not
move
a public
to suspend conference. Rules.
Second.
All those in favor, suspend?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Roll call, please.
Alderman Dandria?
No.
Alderman Mayor?
Yes.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Aye.
The vote is 4 ayes, 2 noes. The motion carries. Mr. Mayor, former mayor, retired mayor.
Yes, retired mayor. Still taxpayer, still resident, still your constituent. This is very clear, and I do think that it is a two-page motion, and the reason it is a two-page motion is because you have three enormous areas of the city affecting millions and millions and millions of dollars, including the entire 20 years or 30 years of the future of the city. And in order so that there is clarity, that there is no ambiguity, you sometimes have to write things a little bit longer. This is not unusual. You get these all the time, except they're in the form of a resolution. And I think I can very quickly, this is not politically motivated, Mr. Mayor. This is appropriate because we have a community development authority, as far as I know, has not seen this presentation. Yet, if you're going to issue TIF districts or get TIF districts out there bonding, you're going to have to go through the CDA. You have in the resolution to make a determination what will be the role of the CDA, yet it's my understanding the CDA hasn't seen this. You had the chairman of the Economic Development Commission for the city say he's been working on Area A, but to paraphrase, he basically said he doesn't know anything about these proposals. It is commonplace to have proposals, development proposals, referred to the CDA, to the Economic Development Commission, to the Plan Commission, because you set up citizens' committees so that you would get the input from your constituents. And so that at these meetings, citizens such as the people that are here now can go before these committees and voice their opinion, take the time that's necessary to go through not a six-page summary, but the entire report that you're just getting tonight, and to take apart the $31 million that might be a cost, but if you don't take down the ramps, maybe it's 15, maybe it's 5. But your CDA members, such as Linda Ryan, who is the former chairman of Economic Development for Milwaukee County, and Mark Cass, who's the current editor of the Business Journal, these are experts in the field that would be able to take these reports apart and give you professional recommendations. That's why it's being referred. Why is it being referred to the school districts? If you have TIF districts, you're going to have 5 taxing units. Who do you think are the biggest beneficiaries of when we retired the last business park? Franklin School District. But you first have to get them on board. You first have to run these proposals for them, in front of them. You're proposing to do things on state highways. And yet, I do not know if the state legislators or the state senators or the governor's office know anything about your plans to remove their ramps. That's why this went into such great detail. I put a date in here to be specific so that a week from now, people would know what you talked about, not just the council members, but all the people of Franklin. And it would be in writing, and it would be given to the city clerk, and it would be made public, given to the newspapers, so that they could get the word out about these enormous projects that are going to affect their community. And that's why I took the time and the effort to go through this and put this proposal so I could give it to my alderman. I said that at the beginning of the meeting, that I asked the alderman to read my motion. If he's having some problems interpreting the meaning of it, it's because those thoughts are in my mind. So I would ask, but one last thing. I know you're very concerned about Area A and moving forward. The problem I think you're having is you don't have the written motion in front of you. If you had that, it would say, I further move that development proposals within the Franklin School District, which encompasses Area A, such as the one for Ryan Road and Highway 36, be encouraged and assisted by the staff of the city, and that all steps be taken to promote commercial development and mixed-use development, which would include Area A, that helps to alleviate the high taxes found within the Franklin School District. You're going to go out and you're going to make motions here, or you may make motions, and the people sitting behind me and myself and my wife, supposedly we're going to pay the taxes for this. I think we are entitled to know exactly what's in the plan. And I think we're entitled to ask the consultants where they got the information that's contained in the reports. Mike Kerrigan, I've worked with him on many, many projects. There's nobody better about TIF districts. This guy is the best. But does he know why the ramps are coming down? No. He just knows that in this report, which I believe you got today, it says your cost is $31 million. Well, what if the developer decides to pick up half of that cost? Now does the TIF district make sense? Probably. So I apologize for the page and a quarter. I suppose I could have got it down to size 10 font, and it would be wonderful. But you have one of the most extreme, most complex issues affecting this city for the history of the city. With that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them. Otherwise, I'm going to sit down.